Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing today the Vanishing Ministry, and in that, we're talking about the need for theological education that has quality and theological education that does not in any way besmirch the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in the delivery process in the institutions that's carrying out Christian higher education. We're talking with Dr. Earl Lee and Dr. Larry Moulds from the Council of Private Colleges of America and the Private Colleges of Florida. And we're doing so today, praying that you're listening. Perhaps you're searching for a school, an institution. Perhaps you're trying to make the determination, how do you ascertain which institution you need to enroll in, and what are the qualities and the qualifications of that? If you'd like to ask these any questions in our dialogue and discussion today, you can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Just before the break, Dr. Lee, we were talking about the fact of quality education via the clock hours, credit hours, etc. Let me just insert this thought for our listeners' edification before we continue that dialogue and discussion. Most are not aware of the fact of the purpose for accreditation. And accreditation is only in the U.S. educational system, not in the European system or the Canadian system, etc. But the accreditation took place in 1869. And I'm looking at my little book that I published on the subject, Accreditation Biblical or Bogus. And on page 5, it says, in 1869, the faculty of the Florida State University, Michigan State University system began the accrediting process. Other Midwestern states followed Michigan's example by the 1890s. And in 1902, the North Central Association of Colleges and Secondary Education was established to accredit all colleges and secondary schools in the Midwest. Well, accreditation was set up. There was a purpose behind it, Dr. Lee and Dr. Moulds, that I want our listeners to fathom. And that purpose was to unify clock hours with the appropriate credit hours and to establish a standard by which the academics can be measured. For example, ladies and gentlemen, prior to 1869, with the accrediting system set up, prior to that, there might be an institution that was carrying out classes for 8 weeks, which was a term, or a quarter, which is 12 weeks, or a semester, 16 weeks. Now, across American educational systems, everything is set up on a semester basis, 16 weeks. But prior to 1869 accreditation, that was not the case. So somebody might go to school for a term, that is for 8 weeks, and get 3 credits. Someone else with another institution might have to go 12 weeks for a quarter and get only 2 credits, and then you might get 6 credits out of 16 weeks. So it was the unification of clock hours and credit hours. And as Dr. Lee was just explaining, in a quality institution, there is the requirement to have a fixed number of clock hours and credit hours. Dr. Lee, would you continue the dialogue and the discussion for our listeners about what is taking place in the state of Florida with some of the religious institutions? I'm not trying to trash religious institutions, ladies and gentlemen, but we need to simply lay the facts on the table. And we're talking with the two people that can give us more information about the certification process and the in view of or in lieu of state accreditation for our religious schools. And what's happening, Dr. Lee, as you were touching on before our break, with some of the institutions that's not meeting the clock hour and the credit hour standards, what are some of these institutions doing? How can we determine, Dr. Lee, for the benefit of our listeners, how can we determine if it is a quality school, if they're meeting the standards? What are some of these schools doing in exchange for credentials or degrees?
I'd like to point this out, too, from what you stated, Dr. Youngblood. In the Christian foundation of our nation, and you mentioned the early certification process, the founders of that, or the people starting that, they were honoring the biblical principle that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors.
Yes.
They wanted people to come and look over and verify that that institution is delivering what it should be, and also they codified the consumer fair practices issues. The state of Florida, in addressing this issue, in 1972, created the State Board of Independent Colleges and Universities to overlook all private non-government education in the state of Florida. Their purpose statement which still exists today, and even though the agency has changed to the Commission for Independent Education, their number one purpose is to prevent fraudulent degrees. And fraudulent degrees are determined by a degree that does not meet the clock hour equivalents that accreditation was formed in the U.S. to define. And so today in Florida, we have the standard is still there. But when it comes to faith-based religious institutions, the standard says you submit an affidavit in which you swear under oath that you have met all of those consumer fair practices. But then they give you a letter that says you're not subject to governmental oversight. So when they try to enforce that against an illegitimate institution, they can't, because the letter says you're not subject to governmental oversight. And if you're not subject to governmental oversight, that's in violation of the legislator's intent from 1972 today to prevent consumer fraud. So what do we have today? I think one of the most egregious situations we have is in 60 days and $6,000, you can get an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's and a doctorate degree in 60 days. There's not enough clock hours in 60 days at 24/7 to meet the
academic. That's what you call a charlatan mill.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fake institution, and they exist there. Now, there are many fake institutions that you have to do something. You may have to read a dozen pages to get a credit, whatever, but that is still below the statutory requirement. And the Florida statutory requirement is exactly what Michigan State and others have got together to say we need to codify. We need to come together as the wisdom of a multitude of counselors and say this is what we need in order to have a quality degree. And the Council of Private Colleges, with our certification process, is doing exactly what Michigan State and the others instituted in accreditation before the GI Bill, when all of a sudden accreditation introduced federal money and federal control. And certification today is doing that exact same thing when it comes to academic and administrative standards. We recognize and honor the faith-based principle of finances. And if our institutions have all of their bills paid and are current with it, we have no problem. They don't have to have $1 million in a trust fund or any type of fund for unearned tuition. I look at that requirement of accrediting bodies, and what they're telling us by that requirement is we can't trust the institutions, so we're requiring them to have this to protect students that we might defraud.
So what you're saying is, Dr. Lee, and I will jump over to Dr. Moles to point my question also. So you're saying that what we have with the Council of Private Colleges of America is an oversight agency that will make sure that the Christian institutions that are delivering credentials are doing so with integrity and honesty from the biblical perspective. So, Dr. Moles, would you take a moment and explain to our listeners, and ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Should you have a question or comment, dialogue, and discussion with the folks we're talking with today, with the Council of Private Colleges of America and the Florida Council of Private Colleges, Dr. Earl Lee and Dr. Larry Moles, we'd love to entertain your question or comment or dialogue and discussion on this issue. Dr. Moles, would you take a moment and share with our listeners what I just simply, I'm a point person, point one, point two, point three, point four, et cetera, et cetera. What does the Florida Council of Private Colleges, what do you do? What is the absolute objective, and has it done subjectively? What are the peer review criteria, so that our listeners will understand those institutions like Conservative Theological University and many others in the state of Florida, that we're under that umbrella. What is it that we have done? What guidelines have we met? What is the protocol for getting certified through the Council of Private Colleges of America?
Let me begin by saying that we have many very small institutions. That is to say, an institution that may have started as a Bible study in a church and has 4 or 5 or 10 members, and they will come to the Florida Council and want help in making sure that the things that they are doing now and certainly going forward meet certain criteria that we have outlined on our websites for the institutions. And we are happy, very happy, to help those tiny institutions to get things settled and moving in the right direction so that they will be a quality biblical institution that can provide the kinds of education in a biblical sense, integrated courses and degrees with the Bible that so many are looking for. So as an institution comes to us, the very first thing that we do is to see what they're teaching, see how they're teaching it, see what they want to grow to, so that we can help them in that process if, in fact, they want to be helped. And so we do have a very specific process both on our both websites. And as you've already heard, the website for the Council of Private Colleges of America is cpca-edu.us. And the website for the Florida Council of Private Colleges is fcpc-edu.org. And that will be for individuals or for prospective students or for anyone who would like to see a little more about what is involved and what are the steps in joining these organizations, being certified by the CPCA, and what they need to go through. Now, I want to add very quickly that Conservative Theological University has not only met all of our criteria, but they have advanced to the very highest position that we have in the entire certification process. And at our most recent annual conference in Orlando, Dr. Youngblood and the Conservative Theological University was presented with a certification that shows the very highest level, 10 years certified for an institution in the state of Florida.
Of which we're extremely thankful for. It was laborious in doing the oversight requirements, and we're thankful that we had the privilege to do so. And that was our renewal of our 10-year certification. And if I might add to your statement, Dr. Moles, that renewal of the 10-year certification for the recertification for the 10-year certificate met the highest in the 21st century standards as set forth with CPCA, of which I am thankful. Let's go back to a thought for either Dr. Lee or Dr. Moles. Either one of you can respond to this. As the institutions become a part of CPCA and the sister organization, the Private Colleges, Council of Private Colleges of Florida, as they are the private colleges that's in the state of Florida, those that have joined, those that are members, in the maturation process, as they go through the process of meeting the standards of growing, it's not something, and I want this clarified from your perspective, not something where you just join and immediately then all of a sudden you're certified, all of a sudden you've met the standards just by joining and paying a fee. I don't want people to think that it's just a fee-based where you can become certified by paying a fee. What is the maturation process? You've got, for the benefit of our listeners, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 years. How is this structured in the process of doing that? What's the modality for reaching those standards, and what are the benchmarks for that?
In both the organizations, a new institution comes in as an affiliate institution, and signing that they agree they've looked over our standards and they agree that they want to go in that direction. And once we have them have gone through and verified that they are suitable for beginning the process, the certification process, then they move on to the next level, which is where we begin the CPCA 21st Century Certification process with them. But they are vetted to come in, and then in addition to that, as they cannot progress upward until they meet the requirements in this level before moving to the next level. So they see right up front the requirements they must meet, and they make a commitment that they want to go in that direction, and therefore we work with them. Membership is voluntary, and certification is voluntary. However, if they don't proceed with certification, then they would lose their membership and be dropped. And one thing that's very important, both organizations were developed to defend and to increase the quality of faith-based institutions only. They are not, the organizations are not particular non-faith-based.
What we're doing as you're speaking, Dr. Lee, I'm pondering on the fact that what we're doing is going back to the 1869 intent for accreditation, but under a Christian, banner. We're calling it certification, so there is peer review. And Dr. Lee or Dr. Moles, either one answer this. We're talking to an audience of a magnitude of quite a few people, and from up around Brunswick, Georgia, down to about Daytona, and from the beaches over to about Lake City. So we've got a pretty broad swath of people, and perhaps we're talking to someone today that's listening that are interested in enrolling in a Bible college or a Christian seminary for higher education. Give some pointers. What should that student look for? What should he be aware of? What should he be leery of? How should the student weigh out what are the qualifications of that institution that he is searching for, and how should he make that decision?
From the consumer fair practices issue, they should be simply asking questions and of the prospective institution or their website or their printed materials. They should be looking at their purpose and mission statement. They should be looking at a refund statement. They should be looking to see what clock hours are required to earn a semester credit. And they should be looking at what students perhaps have graduated and even request contact with a graduate to determine what they're doing. What is the institution's refund policy? If the institution promises them employment, there's no such thing as promising employment, as certainly in the faith base, when a student is to be dependent upon living by faith and depending upon God giving him a field of ministry. And they need to be very clear on it. The other thing that's very telling, if they list that they are accredited by an XYZ accrediting association, they need to ask the question, is that accrediting association recognized by the USDE, U.S. Department of Education, and CHEA, Council on Higher Education, that approves all accrediting agencies that are recognized by the government. If it is not a recognized accrediting agency, then they have paid fees and so on to an organization that lists itself as an accrediting association. And we distance ourselves from that because the word accrediting and accreditation means usually government funding, and we don't. That's why we choose to use the word certification. And we are doing exactly what the institutions did when they started accreditation in America. It's peer review. It's meeting the standards, the consumer fair practices, and all states have some form of consumer fair practices that basically mirror, maybe not quite as stringent as CPCA and FCPC, but it gives them a foundation to go. So they need to be asking those questions and examining to see whether or not it meets academic consumer fair practice standards.
Yes, one of the things, Dr. Lee, that comes to mind as we're talking, there's some institutions that in history past perhaps were members of CPCA or FCPC, and they still show that on their website. What would you suggest to a prospective student to ascertain? How can he ascertain if that is true? Because that's the seal of quality when you see CPCA and FCPC. And if that seal of quality is being shown in the membership list on the website of that institution, and they're not in fact members, how's the best way for that student to ascertain or to determine the credibility of that?
They need to go to the respective website for CPCA or FCPC, and if they're not a current member and in compliance with everything, they are not listed on the website as being a member, and they need to be an astute investigator of what they're going to. And I recently, in going through and investigating for a credentialing organization, discovered an institution that hasn't been with us for 25 years. They're still advertising that they're with the FCPC, and we'll send them a letter, carbon copy to our attorney. It's illegal for them to do so, but I welcome all of our member institutions. Welcome your investigating them and encourage you to investigate wherever you go, just like Dr. Youngblood is suggesting. And for your information, in Florida now, with the lax and the bad rule, the bad law, we have gone from 100, at one time, 86 institutions. We now have almost 500 that have submitted an affidavit to the state. And we have more than that that are simply ignoring submitting an affidavit. So you have a choice of probably 600, 700, 800 institutions, and you need to verify them. And if you want a quality one in Florida, you need to go to the FCPC or CPCA website.
Give us those website addresses once again, Dr. Lee.
Okay. Council of Private Colleges of America, CPCA-EDU.US. Florida Council of Private Colleges, FCPC-EDU.ORG.
All right. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask Dr. Lee and Dr. Moles a couple of more questions in the time that we have allocated. Dr. Lee, Dr. Moles, either one respond to this. I get bombarded on our email here, and it's being sent to the church email address, where, for example, right here in the city of Jacksonville, there's an institution that offers for, I believe it is $2,500, that you can become a PhD in Christian counseling in 36 hours. Mm-hmm. I've had those that say that you can get your bachelor's degree in 12 months. Mm-hmm. I've had those that say that you can get your bachelor's, your associate's, bachelor's, and master's in 9 months. and all of them have a fee attached to it. One of them, for example, you can write a page, 5 pages, let's say, or 20 pages on how much I love Jesus, and $2,500, and you can become a PhD graduate. Right here in the city of Jacksonville, there's about 6 of those institutions. Would you call that quality? Is that besmirching the reputation of the Christian and the Christian institution? What do we call those institutions? And should a Christian that's looking to get qualified credentials, should a Christian consider those institutions?
Unfortunately, we have people, so-called faith-based people, that will participate. It's like drug pushers wouldn't have any market if there wasn't somebody to get their drugs. People are peddling these fake institutions, and unfortunately, there are people that want a degree, and as long as they get the degree, they don't even care what they have to do. They'll pay the money and walk away with that degree, and that is unfortunate that we have so-called faith-based people that will get into a program like that. Now, there are always innocents that get caught up in that because they're not discriminatory. They don't check and search it out. But we have hundreds of institutions doing that in the state of Florida, and the current agency in getting a law passed that says affidavit submitted, not subject to government oversight, is 100% responsible for having those kind of degrees operating in Florida.
That's where we come in for the Florida Council of Private Colleges, the Council of Private Colleges of America, ladies and gentlemen, for us to work together as Dr. Lee and Dr. Moles and others of us that are working with them through their institution to see that we can get some quality laws and regulations passed in the state of Florida that will prevent these degree mills from being the charlatan operations that's selling credentials. And Dr. Lee, you touched on it, and it's so aptly stated. One of the problems we have so often, and it's sad to have to admit this, is that we have those in the realm of ministry that pride for a credential overrides their moral, ethical, biblical mandate of keeping the testimony of Christ above reproach. We've got about 30 seconds left, Dr. Lee. Would you take the last 30 seconds and say something to our listeners to encourage our listeners to become enrolled and involved in Christian higher education?
We would encourage any prospective student to uphold the Lord's testimony above reproach and investigate where you're going for your higher faith-based education and make sure that it complies with the standards on the CPCA or the FCPC website, and that will protect your integrity and involve you in keeping the Lord's testimony above reproach, just like Conservative Theological University has done by working through the certification process.
And we're great. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Day for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.